So let's begin. Just two or three things of introduction before we actually begin learning together. The first is that Hilchos Nida is really very important. The limud of Nida, I could tell you the bulk of shilohs that come up are not about Basar B'cholov. You're more likely to get shilohs in Hilchos Nida than Hilchos Basar B'cholov, even in Washington Heights, where we have small kitchens, and people tend to mess things up more often than the very large kitchens in the five towns. Still, Hilchos Nida generates more shilohs than Hilchos Basar B'cholov. That means it's really imperative to try to understand the sugyas as well as possible. That's intro point one. Part of that is not only to learn the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef, etc., and the Gemaras and the Rishonim, but also the more contemporary Svarim. It's a very good idea for everybody to have one or two contemporary Likud Svarim that they use to go through as the year goes on. The Rabbi Forst Sefer is excellent, especially if you use the footnotes. It's not a very good Sefer to prepare for weddings, but it's an excellent Sefer for learning. It's just TMI, as they say it. Like, Lamais is just too much there. The Rabbi Sabalovsky Sefer is a very good Sefer. Honestly, you could probably read it bedtime before you go to sleep at night. It's, realistically, it's an hour and a half of reading. It's not that much, but it's good. The Shiurim are very organized. It's a Gevaldika Sefer in terms of that. There is a book, I'm just talking about English books right now, by Adina Zimmerman, who was the first Yoeset Halacha. It's called A Companion's Guide to the Halachos of Nida. That's a very fine English language Hilchos Nida book. Also, it's relatively on the simple side. The good things that she has is because she's a doctor, her medical terminology is accurate, is precise. She also is the only one who has a section about various birth control methods, which are shilohs that also come up that I hope we will discuss as the year goes on. There are many svarim, obviously, la halacha, that are very important. The Badei HaShulchan is tremendous. The Shiurim of Rav Vosner. These are all svarim that we will be accessing and using. Get the svarim, look at them. Don't think that just because you know the page with the Shach and the Taz and the Piskei Tshuva, that that's all there is. Obviously, part of knowing Piskei Tshuva is reading the Tshuvas inside often. But additionally, some of these Likud Svarim are very good, and you should be using them. The other thing that I want to mention is that Kuf Pei Gimel is very rich. There are a lot of major Nida sugyas that come up in Kuf Pei Gimel. So if we end up spending 3 weeks on Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, even though it's only a page and a half in Shulchan Aruch, don't think we're wasting our time, because l'maisa, these are some of the shailas that come up on a regular basis, or more likely I should phrase it, that these are the large global issues within Hilchos Nida that come up, and I hope that by understanding the global issues, we will be able to get down to the specifics la halacha as we go on. This chabura will not be only halacha la maisa, it will also be larger, broader issues. In fact, today's chabura will be very light on halacha la maisa, but okay, we have to know Torah. The Torah is important. That's the goal. I will ask people, if someone here has a piece of paper, if you could just like put down your name and your email address and pass it around to everyone else in the class. Yeah, on the back of the sheet, there's actually a blank page. So if you could do that, that will be helpful. And now let's begin learning Hilchos Nida. Now, when we talk about Hilchos Nida, it is a misnomer, no? It's a misnomer, because the way we do Hilchos Nida today is really Hilchos Zava, not Hilchos Nida. There are two parashios in the Torah, in Vayikra Perek Tes Vav, beginning Pasuk Yud Tes, and moving on. The first parasha is the parasha of Nida, technically. The Torah speaks about a woman. V'isha kisiya Zava, dam yezova bibsara, shivas yamim tiya benidasa, v'chanogeya ba yitma da'orev. Right, the Torah says that there's a woman called Anida, and anything that she touches is tameh. That's the basic halacha of Nida. What she sits on is tameh. These are dinim in tum and tahara. Pasuk chaf hey says isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabin below ace nidasa o ki sazuv al nidasa. So then it's also like Anida. So the first parasha is talking about Nida, the second parasha is talking about Zava. What are the differences between Nida and Zava? So obviously the Torah gives us the first difference that we'll have to talk about as we move on, and that is that by definition, a nida is when you see dam be'es nidusa, and a zava is when you see dam below es nidusa, right? That is what the Torah speaks about. But no saf al kach, there are additional differences, which is that a zava, one who sees dam when it's not expected, is chayavas to bring a korban. In the Tosefta Megillah, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Dalit, or Yud Aleph, depending which version of the Tosefta you have, you will notice that the ein bein zava le nida ela korban bovad. So a zava brings a carbon, a nida does not bring a carbon. A zava requires shiva nikiyim. You need seven clean days if you are a zava. A nida also has 7 days, but there's no din of nikiyim. Meaning to say, a woman sees a drop of blood, but eis nidusa, so the Torah says that she is tameya for 7 days. End of discussion. She does what would be a hefsek tahara. She would do a check to ensure that she's no longer bleeding at the end of those 7 days, and she'd go to the mikvah, and at that point she is tahora. That is called nida min ha-Torah. That you don't need to check yourself kihuzeh during those 7 days. You don't need 7 days of checking. You just check yourself at the end of those 7 days to make sure you're no longer bleeding, and then you're okay. Right? That is eis nidusa. That is the halacha of a nida, that it's 7 days of tumah. Right? That's it. But you could be bleeding one time or all 7 days. By the end of 7 days, you go to the mikvah. That is a nida. A zava requires zayin nikiyim. A zava requires a check each day for those 7 days to make sure that she is going to be tahora. No? Now, when I say that, though, I'm not really being precise. When I say that Zav requires Zayin Nikiyim, that is really the din of a Zav Gedola. May not tell you that there's a difference between the Zav Katana and the Zav Gedola. If a woman sees blood during the time of Zava, which we'll explain in a few moments, right? So if she sees blood one day, you need one clean day. 2 days, you need one clean day. Three consecutive days, we paskin, to be a Zava Gedola, we require Gimel Yamim Ritzufim, 3 consecutive days, even though Tosfos on Daf Nun Dalet points out that Reb Sadia Gaon says that all you need is Gimel Re'eos, and you don't need Gimel Re'eos Yamim Ritzufim, right? You don't have to be consecutive days, but the fact is, the Rishonim all, like, I don't know if anyone really accepts this Reb Sadia Gaon. Some Rishonim say that Reb Sadia Gaon didn't really happen. It was like a Talmud Torah. Sometimes students are listening to Shir and they actually misunderstand what the Rebbe is saying. So that's why the Tosfos HaRosh says it. The Ramban says that it's not that it was a Talmud Torah, it's that Reb Sadia Gaon himself made a mistake. There are different versions, but Kuli Alam asking that this Shita of the Reb Sadia Gaon, that it doesn't have to be Ritzufim, is a mistake. But we're passing for a Zavik Gedola, you need Gimel Yom Ritzufim. A Zavik Ketana is if you have Re'iyah Yom Echad, or Re'iyah of Beis Yom, in which case you only need one clean day. That's the basic halacha of Zavik Ketana. What other differences are there between Zavik Gedola and between Nida and Zava? So far we have a carbon, and we have Zayin Nikiyim that is required. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, obviously what we do is really rules of Zava, not rules of Nida. That's something we'll talk about the next real Chabura and two Chaburas, and now we'll discuss that issue in greater detail, the Chumr of Reb Zera. But what other differences are there between a Nida and a Zava? Anyone? What other differences are there? What? Mayim Chayim. Okay, so there's a collector's item. No? Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim. In certain Masechtos, Rashi gives a name for his Rebbeim. This is that a Nida does not require Mayim Chayim, but a Zava does require Mayim Chayim. Mayim Chayim means that there are two ways to become Tahar, technically. There's Ashbor, and there's stagnant water, and then there's a Ma'ayon, which is flowing water. Mayim Chayim is like a Chumr within the din of Ma'ayon. It's a chumrah within the din of flowing water to become tara that it has to be flowing and completely unimpeded. So that's the chshita of Rashi b'shem his Rebbeim. In every mesechta, Rashi quotes his Rebbeim and rejects it. And Rashi says, listen, my Rebbeim, they said that a zava requires mayim chayim, but the fact is that it's not true, because shteitan tosefta, that the difference between a zav and a zava is that a zav is a male who has a discharge. Some today assume that that male discharge is gonorrhea that causes zav. It's a bad thing, you shouldn't know from it. But the fact is that zav requires mayim chayim, zakta tosefta, and zava doesn't require mayim chayim. So if you don't require mayim chayim, there's nothing to talk about. Right, so it's just ruin based on the Tosefta. That's what Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim, and Rashi argues. It happens that in Sanhedrin Adaf Pei Zayin, for some weird reason, Rashi seems to accept the Shita of his Rebbeim. And Rashi seems to accept the fact that a Zava requires Mayim Chayim. Okay, it's a Shvera Rashi, it's like a Stira in Rashi's. There isn't that much to do with it. There are others who assume that Zava requires Mayim Chayim. Also, there are many Onim that the Aruch Haner points out there in Nidadav Samach Zayin. The Shuvas HaGaonim assumes that you require Mayim Chayim. But Lemaisa, it's a difficult Shita. It's a collector's item. It's not really mainstream Judaism. And Nitziv has a Chiddush in the Merom Yisoda, which might be based on something that exists in reality, or it might not. You see, there is a line in the Ravid Balei HaNefesh. I think I gave you the Maror Mokum of that Ravid Balei HaNefesh. There are two different editions of the Ravid Balei HaNefesh. There's the Kafich edition, and then there is the Buchwald edition. No? Buchwald is the fellow who had... Right, that's the one that you have. He's the one who decided to argue on Chaim Soloveitchik's whole approach to the Ravid. Right? It takes a lot of guts to argue with Chaim Soloveitchik, but Rabbi Buchwald actually knows Ravids, and he argued with Chaim Soloveitchik. Maybe we'll talk about that on a different occasion, but the Kafich edition was the standard edition of the Ravid Balei HaNefesh until 10 years ago when that one came out. In the Kafich edition, there's a line where it says that the Bahag is the one who holds that you need Mayim Chayim for Yizava. Now we're talking. Now, it happens that that line is taken out of the Buchwald edition. There's a footnote on the bottom of the Buchwald edition that points out that in some other editions, they quote, Yesh Mefarshim Rishim the Bahag, but it's a mistake. But the fact is, if it's quoted from the Bahag, and the Aruch Haner already noted this, and the Aruch Haner already pointed out that maybe it's a different Bahag, no? There are two different Kisvei Yad of the Bahag. This is famous for Shishim Ribo and Erevin. Right? The Bahag of Aspamia is the one who says that you require Shishim Ribo. Even Rashi quotes in Davav and Erevin and elsewhere that you need Shishim Ribo. Rashi quotes him from Bahag. But Lamaisa is probably a different Bahag. It's Bahag Aspamia. Okay, so it might be a different Kisvei Yad of the Bahag, whatever it is. But the fact is that if it's the Bahag, so then the Netziv might have real basis. You see, if this Shita can be attributed to the Bahag, and then the Netziv and the Merom Yisoda quote, oh, the Bahag says that it's not called Mayim Chayim if it's heated water. See, the Gemara in a few places, in Tainus and elsewhere, the Gemara has a line, Tfila Bacham and Mi Ika. But there's no such thing as being Tevil in hot water. Zucked the Netziv that maybe that's the Pshat over here. Maybe the pshat is that there is a din derabbanon min ha-toira en ochanami. There's no requirement for mayim chayim by a zava. No requirement. But maybe there's a din derabbanon that was instituted at some time and at some time and place that there is mayim chayim that's required by a zava. But what mayim chayim means is just that the water should not be nishtana. There shouldn't be any change in the water. And if the water is heated, even that would be considered a change in the water. And the zava doesn't require, and the zava would require mayim chayim in the sense of not changed on the level of drabbanon. It happens that for some reason Hasidic communities are machmir on this. No, if you go to Satmar up in Manre, or even if you go to Munsi, when I was in the Kol Elyon, so you learn mikvos one zman, So Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Rosenzweig took us on the mikveh tour of Muncie. So first of all, Rabbi Rosenzweig had absolutely no interest at all in looking at the mikveh. He's like, okay, fine, it's a mikveh, big deal. I'm going to mikveh all year. And he's like, show me the galsh and nitlash or whatever, like exciting stuff. Like, give me the exciting mishnayis. But Rabbi Willig basically took us on this tour. And in the Muncie mikveh, and in Hasidic communities, they do this. They look for a mikveh that really is a mayan. They bedafka want not to be toivel in rainwater that is accumulated, that's ashporen, that's stagnant rainwater. Rather, they want to be toivel in a mayon. There's a few reasons why, according to certain Rishonim, a mayon can't become possible even if there's a leak in the mikveh, even if there's a crack in the wall and it comes out. So that's why they're machmer on it. Additionally, they're machmer on it because Rabbi Yosef Sharashi assumed that a zava requires a mayon, and today that we treat all of our women like they are a zava, so therefore we, or in Hasidic communities, they try to do a mayan. This is a really expensive chumrah, no? It's like super duper expensive. To make a mayan, you have to dig down very deep until you get to a spring, and you can't dig it in a way that there's going to be a kli that will make it shu'uven, so they have to, there's like all these complicated ways. It costs like millions of dollars to build a mikvah like this. It's a huge waste of money. Remember, like, Rav Shef is like laughing about this. But okay, the fact is that this is what's done. This is the day of Rabbi Yosef Sharashi. Yeah.
Is this the Nayazak or the Rabbi Chassidim or Rakhbet on this in Europe? Just because they can Europe?
So I'm not an expert on this topic. I don't think they were Machmer on this in Europe. I don't think they could afford it.
And even then, I'm assuming if there's a woman who has to go to the mikvah, they don't insist that.
Right, but we generally try to build our mikvahs according to all the chumrah as possible, because we don't want any woman to chas v'shalom say that she won't be toivel because it doesn't meet her standards. So we want to have all the chumrahs that we can. That's the basic story. This idea, though, of Rabbi Yosef Sharashi actually is Pshuto Shel Mikra, no? The Ramban, Vayikra Tesvav Yud Aleph. The Ramban has a few interesting ha'aris relating to the difference between Nida and Zava. Zak the Ramban, how come a Zava requires a carbon and a Nida doesn't require a carbon? What's the Hezbar Hadavar? So the Ramban says, oh, you should know there's something else that requires a carbon, a zav, right? A zav is that person who we said before has this evil disease called gonorrhea, maybe, right? And zav has to bring a carbon. What's the pshat? Zok the Ramban, because zav is a choli, it's an illness. And the carbon that you bring when you're a zav is to offer hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank God for the fact that you were cured from this illness. That's what the Ramban says. And Zok the Ramban, interestingly, and that's the pshat also in the Zava. Zava is an illness. Nida is that I see dam when I'm supposed to see dam. Women menstruate, okay, big chiddush, but it happens. Women actually menstruate. But they're supposed to see dam at a certain time of the month. If you see dam below Es Nidusa, that's an illness. An illness requires a carbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank God for healing me from this illness. That's the basic idea that the Ramban says. And then the Ramban has another ha'ara, which is germane for what we're discussing now. Zok the Ramban, one second. Right? If you read through the psukim in the Torah doesn't say that a nida has to go to the mikvah. The Torah doesn't say that a nida has to go to the mikvah. And even by Yezov, the Torah just says, Safra lo shiva yomim achar titar. She counts 7 days and she becomes tahira. Why does the Torah not say anything about going to the mikvah? Zok the Ramban, that he thinks pshuto shel mikra is I don't have to say something, because since a zava is an illness, the same as a zav is an illness, and zav is the parasha right before it. Zav, then nida, then zava. Right? So the Torah is talking about how you repair yourself from having this illness, and obviously illness, according to our understanding, comes from averus. It's not a virus, it's a virus, right? So if that's the case, right, if that's what the illness is coming from, so the way I cure myself from illness is, what? Mayim Chayim. Because I'm worried that in the Ramban's Nusach, it's going to be a holy hamistabik, it's going to be a disease that will transmit to other people. And if I go in a mikvah, if I go in Ishboren, so then, right, maybe the disease will transfer to the next person who goes in. But if it's Mayim Chayim, it won't transfer. And the Ramban says that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. Pshuto Shel Mikra is that Zava is an illness, the same as Zav is an illness, and just like Zav requires Mayim Chayim, Zava requires Mayim Chayim. End of discussion. Right, Pshuto Shel Mikra, but the Ramban notes at the end of that little essay, he says, but no. L'maisa, Chazal assume that a Zava doesn't require Mayim Chayim. Not that my whole cheshbon about being an illness is wrong. No, says the Ramban. But there's a pasuk. There's a pasuk of achar titar. These are extra words, achar titar. And those extra words, achar titar, tell me that Zava also can use a regular mikvah, doesn't require a mayim chayim. So pshuto shel mikra might be like Rabosav shel Rashi. That's really what the Ramban is pointing out there in his in Tesvav Yud Aleph of Vayikra. Good? So we're discussing some of the differences between Nida and Zava, and we have a few. There's another one though that we haven't spoken. Yossi? Because obviously, even though the Torah considers it a disease, it's not. We're not really worried it's going to transfer. The Ramban doesn't get into that level of detail, but Lachor, not really so, or Shomer Mitzvah Yedidah, I don't know. But the fact the Ramban doesn't get into that level of detail, but he says just Pshuto Shel Mikra, we consider it a disease. Now, there's one other difference that we haven't yet focused on in terms of Nida versus Zava, and that is when do you go to the mikvah? If you're in Nida and you want to become Tahora, you go to the mikvah at night. If you're a Zava and you want to become Tahora, you can go to the mikvah during the day. No? What's the cheshbon? How come a Nida goes at night and a Zava goes during the day? So it's based on, and the Rav has this in his Shiur, and Rav Shachter has this in the Sefer Bidikvei Hatzon, page Peites and Sadi, and then later on page Reish Samach Dal in the Sefer Bidikvei Hatzon. It's based on the larger principle of Mixas Hayom Kekulo. Let's explain. Mixas Hayom Kekulo is like the biggest kula in Judaism, no? Oh, half a day? A little bit of a half Shabbos. Huh? This is the Makor for half Shabbos. Mixas Hayom Kekulo. That's a good kasha. How come we don't say that, no? How come we don't only keep half Shabbos? So there are two different nuschais to answer this kasha. One nusach is that the idea of half Shabbos is not possible, even though I have a rule of mixas hayom kekulo, right? The last day of Shiva, for example, a person only sits Shiva, right, in the morning, right? After Shabbos, you sit down for a minute and then you go out, mixas hayom kekulo, right? How come that's not good by Shabbos? So the Shuvas HaGo'inim ask the kasha. And one answer that's given is that you need something called yamim. You need more than one day to apply mixas hayom kekulo. If I have shiva, rachman l'tzlan, so there are 7 days. There's a process. Shloshim, there are 30 days. There's a process. And I could say mixas hayom kekulo. But if I just have Shabbos, right, it's only one day. So one day is not enough to say mixas hayom kekulo. Another mahalach, though, which is the approach that the Rav said both things at different times of his life. The Shirim of the Rav are published on Nida, no? Rabbi Yaakov Roblowski, I think, wrote over Rav Shechter's notes on Nida. It's like a small pamphlet. I have it by my place in the Beis Medrash. The other part of the Rav is that to say mixes hayom kekulo, you need what's called a malos. A malos are, the way Rav Shechter says it, these are days that are just superimposed on the calendar, but not days that are built into the calendar itself. Meaning to say, I'm going to say mixes hayom kekulo on Shiva, because Shiva isn't built into the calendar. Shiva is something that applies to a person, an individual, that's superimposed on the calendar. He has his own cheshbon, she has her own cheshbon, 7 days superimposed on the calendar. That's Shiva. But Shabbos, that's built part and parcel of the calendar. So then I can't say mixas hayom kekulo on Shabbos. So there are two approaches. The Rav said both of them on different occasions. Right? One approach is that I'm not going to say mixas hayom kekulo on Shabbos because it's only one day. The other approach is I'm not going to say mixas hayom kekulo because in order to say mixas hayom kekulo, I need a malos. That's one you sold.
Yeah. The first explanation, what about
Yontif? So a Yontif that, well, Yontif.
Yom Hoshana.
What? Rosh Hashanah has 2 days. So Rosh Hashanah, Min HaTorah, it's only 1 day. And Midrabbanan, remember, you certainly have to keep the full day. The question is, maybe Anachanan, maybe Min HaTorah, if Min HaTorah, there's no such thing as second day Rosh Hashanah. So it's like not germane. What is it, a din that has more than 1 day, right? And then I might apply Mixas Hayom Kikul. I don't know. It requires some thought, yeah.
Not that, but what about Sheva Brachas? How can I say that by the last day of Sheva Brachas?
So by the last day of Sheva Brachas, so Mixas Hayom Kikul also, the Rav discusses in his Shiurim, is Mixas Hayom Kikul a kula or is it a requirement? In other words, one could say within the Rav himself wore, let's say a person wants to sit Shiva all day on the seventh day, can he? B'chorin answers yes. That mixes a Yom Kikulo is, if I want to, right, truncate it, I can. But I don't have to. So I could keep Sheva Brachas all 7 days.
You'd never find it in both, though. I mean, not people want, most people may want to extend it, but
okay, I mean, in other words, you're saying that someone should be allowed to go to work, let's say, on the seventh day in the morning. It's interesting, Kasha, yeah. I mean, we'll also have to discuss, it could be Enochanami, but for a different reason it doesn't apply, that we'll get to in a few minutes. It doesn't apply to Yisurim, it only applies to Kiyumim. Yeah.
I think I saw in a footnote in Rosh Shirim on Tisha B'Av or Tisha B'Av and Vilchus Avelos, I think he talks about a case where there was a Talmud, they record a case where the Talmud asked about why can't he say the same Kukul on the last day of Shavim Mishnah, and he said it's also telling on the wife.
It's what?
It's also telling the wife.
Okay, and then she has to be Michael. So let's say they're both Michael. I mean, they both want to go to work.
And also Shmur Rechoka. You say Shmur Rechoka.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about some of that in a few minutes.
That's only 1 day.
So Shmur Rechoka is only 1 day. That's the problem. So by Shmur Rechoka, again, how does it work? By Likotat Samais, I have to keep a full day of Avelos, no? By Shmur Rechok, I only keep 1 minute of Avelos, right? I just don't mix the same Yom Kikulo. It's 1 day. No Saf Al Kachin are discussion. Zava Ketana. What I assume that by Zava Ketana, she could go to the mikveh after a mix the same Yom Kikulo, do the bedika in the morning, then jump into the mikveh right away? Is that enough? Right?
What?
So the Chorek should be enough. Right, the chorek should be enough. It's 1 day, and we said that one of the reasons why we don't do mixas hayom kekula on Shabbos is because we don't do it on 1 day. So the Rav said that he thought that zava ketana is 1 day, but it's really more than one, because zava ketana is perhaps the beginning of zava gedola, and zava gedola is a whole process. And a shmuah rechoka, the pshat is really, it's like the beginning of avelos is from the shmiah. And it should continue longer, so it's part of a long, it's part of a whole bigger process. But something that's 1 day, that's self-contained, we're not going to say. That's the way the Rav said this in that note in the Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon. It's a little bit, you have to like rub your fingers, which means, it's not the best svara, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I just did, yeah. So that's the basic issue of Zava Ketana. Then the Rav said another Yisod, though, that is very interesting. The Rav said that he thinks the reason why by Zava I say Mixas Hayayin Kekulai, and therefore I could go to the Mikvah on Day Zayin after doing the Bedika, but by Anid I can't go to the Mikvah Min HaTorah, is because by Zava there's a Bedika. Since we require Zayin Nekiyim, which means Bedikos, so since there's a Bedika, there's a Maisa that you do. We only say Mixas Hayom Kikulo when there is a Maisa that's done. When there's no Maisa that's done, this is what the Rav says in the Be'ikvei Atzon page for Samach Dalet, if there's no Maisa that's done, so I'm not going to assume Mixas Hayom Kikulo. That's why by Nida, because there's no Bedika that's required, Min HaTorah, right? There's no bedika required at all by Anida, so therefore there is no rule of Mixas Hayom Kikulo. Good. So that is the first part of our discussion, the differences between Nida and Zava on the level of De'oraisa. But how do I make the Cheshbin of Nida and Zava. That's not so simple. The Torah says that if I see Dam when I'm expecting the Dam, then I'm a Nida. I see Dam when I'm not expecting the Dam, I'm a Zava. And how do I know if I'm expecting the Dam? So I would have said Veses. I say, right, we'll learn the dinim of expected periods. So I'd say Veses. The problem is that the Pashto says we hold the Vestos are Drabonon. So l'chora, this shouldn't impact on the conversation at all. Hold that kasha for 10 minutes. We'll try to get back to it in a few minutes. But how do you know what's called Eis Nidusa and below Eis Nidusa? So the Gemara says that there is Yud Aleph Yom Bein Nida L'Nida. There are 11 days between Nida cycles, meaning Zava is in the Yud Aleph Yom and Nida is the Zion beforehand. So therefore, right, Nida is during the 7 days and Zava is the 11 days afterwards. Simple enough. However, there is a machlokas harishonim how to understand this. The Rambam has a position in Perek Vav Visuri Bia Halacha Beis Gimel Daled Hey and Vav, where the Rambam Beis, not Halacha Aleph, Halacha Aleph is like different, Halacha Beis Gimel, etc. The Rambam tells us that from menarche, from the first time a woman gets her period, what she should do is she should immediately take out a calendar and mark on the calendar, Zion Yud Aleph, Zion Yud Aleph, Zion Yud Aleph, V'chozer, V'chozer, V'chozer. You mark up your calendar from your first period, and therefore for the rest of her life, if she sees blood on the 7, she's a Nida. She sees blood on the 11, she's a Nava. Great, beautiful. Very interesting Rambam, no? That's the Rambam Shita, right? You have to mark up your calendar. Great. Now, Rashi, Erech, and Davches, Ramban, Nida, Daf, Nun, Dalet, they all jump up and down and they spit wood and nickels. They say, we don't know what you're talking about, Ramban, because Lemaisa, a few problems. It's against half of the Sugyas and Shas. That's a minor problem. It's against the reality, no? This Mitzias. Most women, we have something called onabenonis, for example. Onabenonis means that a woman who doesn't have an established period of when she'll see blood, we assume that she'll see dam, let's say, on every 30th day, right? Okay, that's pretty simple. Yeah, so let's make a cheshbon, 1 second. 30th day, 7 plus 11 is 18, plus 7 is 25, right? So that means that when I see dam on day 30, that's in middle of the 11, which should be Zava, which should be below Eis Nidusa, yet we're assuming that's when you expect your period. That shouldn't work. So that's another kasha on the Rambam. Moreover, according to the Rambam, I end up in a very weird situation. Let's say a woman sees dam during 7 days. So far, so good. And then, during the 11 days, she sees dam, let's say, on day 6 and 7 and 8. She sees dam. So now what happens? So she's a Zava Gedola. So now she needs Zion Nikiyam. So Zion Nikiyam would begin day 9, 10, 11. 12 is already Nida. So that means what? I'm both a Nida and a Zava at the same time. I'm keeping my Zion Nikiyam days during the time that I'm a Nida. Now, the Rambam holds that. The Rambam tells us in Perek Zion Halacha Yud Aleph, befamish that you may Nida She'ena Raya Behem Dam O Kiyam. Right? In other words, it's something called you may Nida. Right? So, I'm keeping Zion Nikiyam, right, during you may Nida. They're coinciding for the Rambam. That is a little bit hard to put our minds around. That's a little difficult. Moshe, you got a comment? So that is another difficulty within the Rambam. Yeah?
It's not that according to the Rambam, you may Ziva end wherever it is.
I mean, you may Ziva end wherever it is, so I have 7 and 11, but the halacha is I have a requirement of Shiva Nikiyam based on these 11, and those Shiva Nikiyam are going to extend into that Zion. That's already difficult. Now, the Rambam also holds, by the way, amazingly, that I could be a Zava without being a Nida beforehand, correct?
Let's say a woman sees Dam the first time ever on Monday, August the 1st, I don't know. And that's the first time she ever has her period. So then, Zion Yud Aleph, she's going to see Dam over here, even though she wasn't a Nida right beforehand, but now she's going to be a Zava, not a Nida. Right? So I could be a Zava without having been a Nida beforehand, according to the Rambam. The other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam fundamentally. Rashi and the Ramban, they say that when we talk about the Zion and the Yud Aleph, right, that means if a woman is Ra'as Adam, so then there is Zion followed by Yud Aleph. Now, what happens after those Yud Aleph are over? Zot Rashi, we have blank days. And the next time you have Dam, right, Re'iyah number 2, that would be the beginning of Zion, whenever that Re'iyah number 2 is. That's Shitas Rashi. I have Zion, followed by Yud Aleph. My Yud Aleph, my Zavah days, aren't going to be completed until I complete my Shiva Nekiyim from those days. And whenever I get my second Re'iyah, I start another Zion, followed by Yud Aleph. That's the Shita of Rashi and the Ramban. So again, for the Rambam, I mark up my calendar for my first period forever. And for the Rashi and the Ramban, it doesn't work like that. Now, B'Pashtus, there are two points of dispute between Rashi and the Ramban, and versus Rambam. Point one is, can you be a Zava without being a Nida? For Rashi and the Ramban, the answer is no. Zava only exists after Nida. For the Rambam, the answer is yes, because I mark up my calendar. Point two is that according to Rashi, there is no such thing as you may Nida whether I see Dam or I don't see Dam. You may Zava whether I see Dam or I don't see Dam. Right? This concept for Rashi doesn't really exist. For the Rambam, there's a concept of Yomim. But for Rashi, right, the basic idea is that it's only if it's Ra'as Adam that you become a Nida, and then you have your Zion. The Pashtus says there are two points of dispute. However, Reb Vilvel Soloveitchik, and this is quoted by Reb David in the Shiurim on Erechin and Afches, Reb Vilvel has an understanding that it really there's one machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. And the machlokes is there such a thing as Yimei Nida? The Rambam holds that there is Yimei Nida and there is Yimei Ziva. Rashi holds there's no such thing as Yimei Nida. Rashi holds when I see Dam, I become a Nida. Nida is a Metzius. There's no concept at all of Yimei Nida. And once I have that Yisod Zakhir Velvel, so that answers both points of dispute, or really Hainu Hach. It's really the same Yisod for both points of dispute. That's the Chiddush of Reb Velvel. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because this is actually relevant for the page of the Shulchan Aruch. Let's learn the Shach together in Sifkat and Dalet, no? Let's learn the Shach, Sifkat and Dalet. The Shach says, by the way, there's in Yerideya in general, the people who always lose are the Levush, the Maharshal, the Bach. They mamish always lose. Like, if you get a winner, it's like worth $1 million. The Taz doesn't, I mean, Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so into the Taz. We'll talk about that a different time. Shach, by the way, coolest person ever, lived 1621 to 1662. Shach was like the first real Talmud Chacham we know who was born around Vilna. The Shach is the Vilna Gaon just 100 years earlier. No? And he had more Bekiyas in some ways than the Gra, but that's a different conversation. Okay, so now, the Shach quotes that the Levush says that I'm being marich on this topic even though it's not really Nogei Alamaisa, because we have Chumad Reb Zeira, and therefore we treat everybody like a Zava, but still you should know what is a Nida, what's a Zava. And the Levush tells us that you have Zion and Yud Aleph, and Zion and Yud Aleph,
And Zach Vishach, he begins to jump up and down and spit wood and nickel. He says, what are you talking about, Rabboshev? Zayin Yudav, Zayin Yud Aleph, that is the Rambam Shita, and we don't hold like the Rambam. No? And then at the last line in the Shach, he says, and by the way, and there's another Levush, where the Levush seems to be Saiser himself, and he doesn't give you the full text of the Levush that he's quoting, which is Saiser himself, but if you look in the Chavis Das in those space, the Chavis Das like fills in the details of what the Shach means to ask on the Levush with his Stira. But the Shach Lameisa says the Levush is Das HaRambam, but there's a bit of a steer within the Levush. If you look in the Torah's Hashlamim, Os Gimel, however, the Torah's Hashlamim says that the Levush doesn't hold like the Rambam, the Levush holds like Rashi, because he has a beferish line in the Levush. It's the last line of the Levush over here. The Levush writes, Eino chayzeres limei hanidus ad sheyiyu la zayin nekiyim. So I have Zayin and Yud Aleph, and I need my Zayin Nekiyim to be Mashal my Yud Aleph, Zot Lelavush, or I don't restart the Zayin of Nidus until I finish my Yud Aleph. So that's like Rashi and the Ramban. That's not like the Rambam. So Torah Hashlam is saying that the Lelavush holds like the Rashi and the Ramban, and the Shach is saying that the Lelavush holds like the Rambam. So the footnotes on this Shulchan Aruch, the Hagos V'Ha'oros that I have on the Sama Shochnach, letter Hey, he points out that, you know what? Maybe the Levush splits the ticket. Meaning to say, maybe the Levush holds like the Rambam, that what we'll do is, we will mark up your calendar, Zayin Yud Aleph, Zayin Yud Aleph, Zayin Yud Aleph. In other words, that I could have a concept of, you may need them, right, even if you're not Royadam, right, you may Ziba, if I'm not writing it down, I'll mark up my entire calendar. But with respect to this one prat, that if you see Dam during the Yud Aleph Yom and you need Shiva Nekiyim, so then the Zion doesn't start again. Now, if that's the case, if this footnote on the side of the Shulchan Aruch is correct, so that means he's splitting between these two machlokasim, between Rashi and the Rambam, which is against Revelvel's Hoshtekot Torah. Revelvel's Hoshtekot Torah is that these two machlokasim are connected. And the question is there a concept of you may need it? There's no concept of you may need it. But according to the Levush, the way this footnote is saying it, the Levush holds, if I'm not Rayadam, mark up the whole calendar. But once I'm Rayadam during the Yud Aleph Yom, and I have to be Mashlam Zayin Yomim afterwards, then Nidus won't resume. According to Reb Volvel, that's impossible. I can't split the ticket that way, according to Reb Volvel. That's the Ha'ara I wanted to make. The last Ha'ara I wanted to make is based on just that Ramban al Hatayra. Let's go back to the Ramban. I think the Ramban is what Shitaso. Meaning the Ramban argues on the Rambam. And the Ramban says that Zava has to come after Nida. Unlike the Rambam, that it could be a Zubah without being a Nida, the Ramban says Zubah has to come after Nida. And you know why the Ramban says that, I think? I think the Ramban in his Perish al HaTorah gives us the secret. The Ramban says, why is it that Zubah is an illness? We spoke about this a few minutes ago. For the Ramban, Nida is Teva, no Korban. Zubah is an illness, so you need a Korban to thank a Kaddish Baruch Hu for getting better. What's the Pshat? Zuk the Ramban, the Pshat is because there's ribui dam. You're seeing too much blood. And too much blood, that's an illness, that's sick. Meaning, a woman, different women have periods that last different amounts. Some women have a very short period, 3 days. Other women have a period, the average woman is around 5 days of flow that she'll see blood. Okay. Some women have a period that goes to 7 days. Generally speaking, if a woman has a longer flow, she also has a longer cycle in general. That's the way it usually works. If you have a very long flow in the short cycle, if you have a 28-day cycle and you're seeing blood for 7 days, right, that makes it harder to have children, obviously, no? We'll talk about that next time you learn. But the fact is that the Ramban is saying Zava is an illness. The illness is that I have too much dam. It's like a hemsheikh of the blood that was Teva, but it's, you look at the Ramban, he says it like this, right? Too much of that blood, that's the illness. That's the Ramban l'shitaso, that Zava can only be after Nida.
You can't, right? If I have Zova just in the middle of nowhere, the way the Rambam says it, Mehechotesi, that's an illness. But if it's a hemshech of the blood, so then I could say that's an illness, I'm bleeding too much. So I think that's the Ramban Lishitaso. Again, this discussion, you would say, is not so relevant on my side, because we have Chumra de Reb Zeira. And once you have Chumra de Reb Zeira, so we treat everyone like a Zava. So who cares, Min HaTorah, whether it's a Nidah or a Zava? So we will learn shortly that I think it might be relevant on my side. We'll have to discuss it. It is possible to come up with some nafgaminas, why it's necessary. The last ta'ara to make is that the Aruch HaShulchan notes that the Rambam is not completely rejected. Even though all of the Rishonim say that the Rambam is just against all the Gemaras, etc. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, Chomer d'Reb Zeira, that a woman sees one drop of blood, you keep shivin the kiyam. Why do you keep shivin the kiyam to see one drop of blood? What's the pshat? We'll learn next time what the pshat in it is. But the Aruch HaShulchan thinks, oh, I know the pshat. The pshat is maybe that one drop of blood that you saw was during the Yud Aleph Yom, and maybe it wasn't really one drop of blood. Maybe you missed drops on the other 2 days, and therefore you're a Zav Gedolah, therefore you're Kriya Shiva Nekiyim. In other words, if I hold like the Rambam, that I could be a Zav without being a Nida beforehand, then it makes perfect sense. Okay, Chevra, thank you for learning. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., Dr. Chodnoff will give a shiur about like the biology of Nida. I don't know if I'll give another Chabura on Thursday or not. It's up to you. If you want, I'm prepared. It's up to you. Okay, Yashikaya.